are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Women have been at the forefront of missionary work for centuries, often breaking societal boundaries and making an impact in areas where others could not reach. From education to healthcare, their contributions have been monumental. So let's celebrate the courage and accomplishments of these pioneering women. I add myself in there in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Peter, how are you?
I am very well, Zanele. How are you?
I am good. You know, sometimes you read things, ne? You want to think of people in the 1800s. No, add yourself, Mzalan. Add yourself. It will be fine.
That's true. That's very true. I hope my sound is okay.
No, it's perfect, Mpu. It's perfect. Thank you again for coming through.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Let us pray. Eternal King of Glory, we continue this conversation, just sitting at your feet again to learn from the mighty works you've done through your children in the past, to try and glean some encouragement for ourselves, for our times now. So bring us that encouragement, bring us that instruction now, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. I think the issue of gender equality is nothing new. It's been there forever and ever since.
Yeah.
And the struggles that men go through and women go through, they've been different from yesteryears. Yeah, we want to trace back. Yushem, we'll even go to the Garden of Eden. But looking at, you know, since you're speaking about all things missionaries, you know, what unique challenges, you know, did the women that were missionaries back in the days, you know, face as compared to their male counterparts?
So some of the challenges that I was able to find included limited access to education.
Okay.
Because in certain societies, the place of the woman was the kitchen. And so some women hadn't accessed adequate education to be able to assist in certain mission fields. And so they came on board as helpers in the kitchen and in those areas. Those are some of the challenges. Mm-hmm. Others included social restrictions in certain countries. Women do not have a seat at the table. And so when families went as missionaries, the women could not serve as freely as they wanted to. There were also gender norms that made it a challenge for some of these women missionaries to serve to the best of their capacity. Then you also had things like cultural and linguistic barriers, which were the same challenges we were talking about earlier. But those are some of them. And we also have physical and emotional risks and challenges. Then maybe the last one would be balancing family responsibilities with...
Network. Welcome back, Food. Oh, we're losing him again. Pastor, are you back?
Okay, I'm back.
Yes, you were speaking about, you know, balancing family responsibilities.
Yes, so that was a challenge, or that has been a challenge, because of those very gender norms that we're talking about, where the woman is seen to be the homemaker. And so you've got to be the homemaker and find a way of getting out there and doing ministry. And that was a challenge and still continues to be a challenge for some people, even up to now.
So looking at, you know, these women, I think most of the time when we're speaking about women missionaries, we think health, we think education, like, though they come forward, you know, whilst men, we think about them preaching the word and everything else. So how did these women now contribute, you know, to areas such as education, healthcare, and social justice? We sometimes overlook thinking the men, you know, they're the champions of that. But some people, they actually associate that with women, you know. So how did they contribute in issues in those categories?
So we found women missionaries advocating for women's rights and social justice and things like anti-trafficking, because they have that experience it's their lived experience, and so they fight for it differently compared to male counterparts. And such relief to the community can really be the gospel to them, because when they find somebody who is willing to fight for them and be their voice, it can really be such a relief. We've also found women being, like you've said, being at the forefront of establishing schools and hospitals. One missionary family from South Africa that I lived with, I remember mom, I call her mom.
Yeah.
She had a book in the house that said, "When there's no doctor." Mm-hmm. And so people in the community came to her. You know, she'd never done a health program, but through various trainings over her life, she had learned how to give first aid in the community before somebody needed the hospital. That's one of those contributions that we've seen women make in mission fields. We've also seen women contribute to providing literacy programs and healthcare, like I just put it. That's one of those other areas. And then we also have seen women advocating and empowering local women through micro-enterprises, if I can put it that way, where women will come and fight for these women to better their lives. One of the directors of our board is very passionate about women and empowering women with micro-enterprises and leadership development. And so that's one of the ways I've seen women contribute and participate in mission.
So looking at, you know, they've built educations, right? They've built clinics. They even taught some of the women from yesteryears, for example, how to mix the herbs, how to use what for what, you know, how to do the treatment. Others, they even taught people how to read, even though the materials were not readily available, right? It's one thing teaching people, but you don't see changes, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In terms of the impact that they had on communities that they served, both then and even now, the missionaries now, you know, if you can talk to us about the thing that, yes, they taught them, but this is the impact that we are seeing. Some, you would see generations saying, you know what, this missionary did this, then I did this, then I did this, now we are finding ourselves here. If you can talk to us about that.
So I have learned that men and women are different. And those differences must be celebrated. They each play a role in building God's world or God's kingdom, if I can put it that way. So there's a heart that a woman brings to mission that must be respected and celebrated. There's a way a woman will nurture things in mission. So you'll find women being better able usually to establish long-lasting relationships and legacy. The book I was telling you about, God's Beautiful Farm, E.A. Sutherland, was married, and when the wife died, the one he married again played such a big role in establishing further the work that E.A. Sutherland was establishing at Madison Farm. And then we see where women improved these education services that were being offered, or healthcare services, or even economic opportunities, because there was finally somebody who was looking at the plight of the woman. You know, so we've seen women impact these communities where they set up as missionaries that way. We also have seen women, you know, enhance community development and self-sustainability. There's a program called Farm Stew that's being offered by an organization in the States, but then it's been rolled out in various areas. And among them is a special focus on the girl child and women. And, you know, they go as far as teaching people how to save money and things like that. That sounds like self-sustainability. And interestingly, the director of the organization is a woman. And so you see that in living color, that, you know, women in mission come in and help enhance community development and self-sustainability. And maybe one last point would be that women in ministry or in mission have enhanced social status and dignity for women and girls.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a text in the Bible. Let me see if I can find it. It's Titus chapter 2, mm-hmm. verse 3 and 4, where it says, the older women likewise, that they may be, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Then he says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. So there's a particular role that only women can play, because it's their lived experience and they're talking to people who can relate to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were speaking, I think through the past few days, we also touched on the issues of how, for example, missionaries are viewed as people who come to change the way in which people live, you know. Often we debate the issues of, you know, how our cultures have been diluted by the Western cultures, and this started with missionaries. There are such arguments out there, there's everything else. So now, since we are zoning in, you know, on women missionaries, you know, what impact do they or influence have they had in terms of gender roles within the church and the society? Seeing that, for example, as Africans, in quotes, I can use that, you know, our gender roles are properly defined, you know, back in the days. But now things have changed. Me in the kitchen for the who, you know, for the why.
Yeah.
Things have changed. Yeah. But I don't know if it was because of missionaries, because the change, we're starting to see it now, not back then when those modern missionaries arrived. And you see that, for example, in the Western cultures, the gender roles are not necessarily as the way they are with us. So did they have an influence in terms of how the gender roles are in our communities and also within the church?
Most certainly. And to start with, I think God did a number on us. And I understand that, you know, when the light came, it came to a few men first before Ellen White responded favorably. And that inadvertently has impacted our understanding of gender roles, because the messenger of the Lord is a woman, right? So women have challenged patriarchal norms within the church. There was a time when leadership of Adventist schools was only left to ordained men. But now we're seeing women lead these schools. We have women pioneering women's leadership and ordination within the church, or within the Christian sphere. Then we see women promoting gender equality, you know, and inclusivity, because we see women serving in more positions now than they typically were able to serve in. We see women empowering other women with a voice. And so now in certain areas, girls are able to get an education because some missionaries came and fought for that particular right. And I think the final one I would give is perhaps just the women modeling a collaborative ministry and partnership. So when I said that men and women are different and the differences must be celebrated, there are things that only a woman can do that I can't do or speak on. I don't know the emotional changes that go on in the month for the woman. No matter how much I have studied, I have not experienced it. All I know is what I've read. But if a woman stands up and speaks to it, she's speaking with authority, because she's most likely experienced that. So that models a collaborative ministry and partnership, I guess.
So seeing that, you know, we have these women that came before us. Ish, I wanted to say a certain one, but Ish, you know, we are Christians. They'll say I'm saying. Can I just say it for the purpose of this conversation? Guys, I apologize.
Yes,
I'm Christian. I'm convicted. You know, there's often this saying when people have done great things and have excelled. So, for example, I'll use me and you as an example. So people don't. They would be saying that, you know, Andrew crawled so that Zanele can run.
Yeah.
You know, you crawled so that I can run. So looking at these women, we can say they crawled, right? So that the new modern day missionaries can run.
Can run.
But
yes,
in order for them now to run, you know, how does that legacy of those who crawled inspire them now, you know, to pursue the acts of service? Because this day it's me, and I and my family, you know.
Yeah,
we no longer have that thing of missionaries. But seeing that there were people who crawled before us, how would that now inspire us to take on the baton and run?
So there's a text, if I can just quickly open it, in Hebrews chapter, just give me a quick second, let me open there, chapter 12, I believe it is, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So because we have people who follow it, we can be encouraged. That's why I look to that particular material that I shared when we started this conversation, because mission can be quite difficult. Mission is different from an evangelistic campaign where you baptize at the end of the campaign. You know, and you're seeing immediate growth. Mission takes time and it can be discouraging. But to read from other women who have done it in the past, we can emulate their courage, their resilience, their compassion, their ingenuity. We can emulate that. Then we can also pursue holistic ministry and community engagement. We begin to realize, hey, we're not entering an area to pass tracts. You know, there's much more to do in ministry than just passing tracts and setting up evangelistic campaigns. So we can pursue holistic ministry and see that we can get into an area, set up a school, start off with this school at a church, and then it grows from there. We can also, using those particular experiences, we can also learn to advocate for justice, because there's a lot of injustice happening. So my chief in my village there where we're set up is a strong advocate against child marriages. And so when we come into the area, we are also coming to discourage that, but also to promote education. And not just promoting education, but also promoting education among the girl children. So you get into an area to advocate for justice, to advocate for human rights, and to advocate for equality. You're also getting into an area where you are just, well, you're being encouraged by the people who've gone before and being mentored by them, because it's so great a cloud of witnesses. So they in their past experiences, they mentor us and empower us into a powerful future, if I can put it that way.
Thank you. That scripture, I love it so much as well. There is this in my other church that, you know, this pastor, female pastor, she loved that scripture. You know, every time she would say message and she wants to encourage people, she would always say, whatever you're going through, do not forget there is a cloud of witnesses cheering you on, saying, go on, girl child. I remember those words where she would always, you know, use this, like, boy, you will go through it, but remember. I was like, I remember that scripture. Thank you so much, Mfu. If you can just, you know, pray for us as women mostly, because, you know, in your first answer, you did speak that most of the time we have family responsibilities and everything else, and we do put that first. If a call were to come now saying, Zanele, go to this particular country on a mission trip for 12 months, the first thing would be, who's going to look after my children? So we do have issues that we want to, that we consider. Who should I leave my husband for this? Or if I'm not married, when will I get married if I'm gone for 12 months, you know, in the bundus somewhere there? So it's a lot, you know, that we consider and have to deal with as women, and also dealing with the expectations from society. So if you can please pray for that.
All right, let us pray. Our God, our Father, Yahweh, thank you so much because your work goes on. The mission is happening, and there's people partnering everywhere. Dear God, there may be women listening to this program who have felt, maybe this isn't my place. Maybe when I marry and my husband is called into mission, then I can go. But maybe, perhaps you're calling them now, and they have all these questions, dear God. Mm-hmm. My prayer is that you embrace them, you pull them in, and just show them how it can be done. Encourage your children, dear God, if at all you're calling them into missions. Encourage them to go. Show them how you did it through other people in the past. May you please open doors and remove obstacles from their way, unless the obstacles are meant to teach them something and strengthen them. But God, I pray that you make it possible for your children to go into missions, because there are still people that have yet to experience the gospel of your kingdom. There are still people, dear God, who are yet to experience your love, even through other human beings. So, dear God, continue enlisting us in your mission, taking us to areas where we need to go. And may you help us to be obedient. This is my asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfu, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Zanele. You have a blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.